Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack. Liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Now, we all know the left is using the latest pandemic to push their political agenda. But maybe some, even in my amazingly informed audience, are not aware of just how far they want to push it. E.g., the Soros-funded Open Democracy Organization has stipulated they want to abolish the family. And it sees this pandemic as providing an opportunity to advance that goal through the government imposition of social distancing within our homes. Pelosi and Schiff are at it again. Now they want to launch an investigation into Trump's handling of the COVID pandemic and create an oversight committee to stand over his shoulder while he handles this situation. Well, maybe they'll learn something if they'll pay attention. Anyway, these people are truly sick. As Bongino recently opined, there seems to be no cure for their virus. Quickly, here's why they're doing this. I mean, beyond the fact that they want to take down Trump and the America he loves. They're covering their own donkey's rear end. Yeah. Trump was onto this before any of them. Trump was doing something about this before they even settled on what to call it. Trump was forming the Chinese virus response team while Pelosi was signing the impeachment documents and passing out impeachment pens. Yeah, same day. Trump was trying to get Congress to help stop immigration from China while Pelosi was in Chinatown telling everyone not to be afraid. Come on out to Chinatown with us. Pelosi comes out of government meetings about shutting down the American retail business over concerns about COVID-19, and before it gets announced, she and her husband buys into Amazon, who'll step in, you know, because you can't go to the store you buy from Amazon. And they invested $5 million. Insider trading, anyone? Opportunism, anyone? Trump, meanwhile, has directed his team to go out and buy meals, thousands of meals, and deliver them to hospital workers. But once again, Trump was way ahead of them, you know. His focus was on what is truly important to American people, while the Democrats were flailing about trying to impeach him. These wicked and unreasonable devils were busy working to destroy America, while Trump was and continues working tirelessly to save American lives. And they know it. They know they've been caught on the wrong side of yet another issue, and they're trying to cover themselves from the fallout because they fiddled around with their political games while Trump was taking care of America's business. So all this nonsense about investigating Trump's handling of COVID-19 is nothing more than an attempt to direct attention away from their own inaction. But like everything else these devils have tried to do to destroy Trump and all of us who support him, it's going to blow back into their face. Because you don't spit in the wind, my friend. Anyway, don't take anything for granted. Pray. Use your mighty spiritual weapons to pull down the strongholds that continue to support these evil people. Okay, I'm going to switch gears here. An article I found on Yahoo News, published March 30, reveals some intriguing information found in a report filed by the Chemical and Biological Intelligence Unit of the FBI's Weapons of Mass Destruction Directorate, the WMDD. And this report accents coronavirus bioweapon suspicions. Now, I've got a lot of deep research yet to do on this, so I'm going to discuss it more fully later. But the gist of it is the FBI caught some Chinese guys bringing vials into the United States in November of 2018 and in early 2019 that raised suspicions because the carriers had either no documentation permitting the transport of biomaterials and or the labeling on the vials was contradictory to their declarations concerning what was in them. In one case, it was suspected that the vials contained MERS and SARS materials and H1N1 flu virus. And that's the swine flu thing. However, the report does not say their suspicions were verified. And the conclusion of the report seems to be, this is a pattern of Chinese behavior that raises heightened security concerns. So either they are obfuscating to hide the fact that they know China snuck into America some bad juice, or they're red flagging this behavior to warrant higher and tighter scrutiny on the transport of biomaterials. And here's another story I'm looking into. It's a fellow whose accent seems a little bit like an Aussie, whose qualification, according to him, is essentially that he is really smart. That's what he told us about 3 or 4 times. And he's done some study. 6 years background in science, 6 years in medicine, 3 years specifically in virology. And he is really, really smart. And I'm sort of teasing. I don't doubt that he is, by the way. But, you know, I don't emphasize something like that unless I have a point to make with it, and I will. He informs us you cannot catch a virus. He tells us the only way any virus gets into us is through injection of a virus-hosting cell into your bloodstream. So I did some research, and sure enough, from my research into his claims, this is based on the fact that viruses exist, quote, near the boundary between the living and the non-living, end quote, which is because, quote, viruses can't function without interacting with a living cell, according to this source. On their own, they're essentially inert, unable to move, end quote. And, quote, by themselves, they can't do anything. They need a host cell to replicate, end quote. So I found that it is generally agreed that viruses, as he pointed out, are essentially non-living things and require a host cell. Now, as for how viruses originate, there are a variety of theories, and he has one. He believes they are nature's way of purging the cells of our bodies of toxins. Now, I can't find any support for that theory out there unless it's a variation on the evolutionary-based idea that viruses are original. You know, they're part of the original stuff in the goo way back near the beginning of evolution, that kind of thing. But his notion seems to be more in the vein of viruses are our friends, and they're trying to clean our cells of toxins. And we get sick because if we have too much toxicity in our cells, when the virus breaks these down, it overloads our cell with these toxins and sometimes kills it. Something along those lines. So our very smart expert has concluded these viruses are created naturally within a sick cell to detoxify the body. He does not believe a virus can enter into our cells unless it is injected into us, for example, by vaccination. Now, the consensus is that a virus can survive outside a host for a limited amount of time before it begins to break down and lose its ability to infect. It is generally believed the virus can be transmitted through minute particles expectorated through a cough or by contact from some surface where it has been waiting for an opportunity to find a viable host. You know, you get it on your hand, you put your hand to your eye, your mouth, your nose, whatever. One alert. Our Aussie friend mentions patents were filed for SARS and for a vaccine. Later, he gave the numbers, and I looked them up. His point is not that SARS was invented in a laboratory. It is only that the virus we call SARS has been known since 2006. And frankly, I'm not sure what the point is that he's making with this. I don't know. These patents are routinely filed when a company takes ownership of a discovered virus for purposes of creating a vaccine or for the purpose of further study or whatever. It's more like staking a claim to a discovery. It is certainly not about inventing or creating the virus. I received another helpful article, this one warning us of permanent damage that can be caused by COVID-19. Now, I'm keenly interested in any information that will help me understand why COVID-19 is so different from other novel coronas that have come along in the past that we should respond to this with so much virulence. So I read the article and some other related documents along with it, and I read it all with interest. So as per usual, it's in some cases. It's usually when there is a pre-existing condition. And, you know, it's if this and if that in the language, which is nevertheless concerning. So I expanded my research. What about other flus or other respiratory diseases? And I find the same things are said. In some cases, you can have permanent damage, scarring of a lung, and so on. More rarely with some than with others and so on. But nothing that definitively says this particular virus is particularly virulent. And anyway, I discovered that in fact there are quite a few diseases, including some other flu viruses, that can cause some permanent damage in some cases. And anyway, here's the takeaway. Presently, here's what we know is true. There are those whose political interests are served by keeping America afraid. Some have an agenda that is advanced by creating a narrative that makes this an American disease rather than a Chinese one, That's what the Chinese and their bot sycophants in America right now are trying to pull off. Some have an agenda that is advanced by any American crisis that requires calls for a hard left turn toward socialism. Yeah, Newsom said right out loud in front of God and everybody that he sees the COVID crisis as an opportunity to advance the progressive agenda. He tried to veil it in some ways, but at the bottom line, he came out and just said yes. The left sees this as a boon to their desire to bring down Trump. You've heard them, like I have, practically salivating over the prospects that this will bring down the president. You know, saying that they want an economic crash because they want to see the president come down. It's unbelievable. There are some whose agenda is advanced anytime they can get Americans looking to government for salvation. And with COVID-19, they get the bonus hope it will bring down Trump. It's a twofer, you know, destroy Trump and the America he loves with one fell virus. Whatever may be true about the seriousness of COVID-19, it is certain the left has politicized it, and they are using it to bring America to its knees. As for the seriousness of COVID-19, friend, I simply cannot find evidence supporting the idea that this virus is so extraordinarily dangerous, it justifies shutting down the economy and taking away our liberties. I keep going back to this. Jesus said there'd be days like this. My Savior said that there would be pestilences. We know they occur in the world. We know they'll come and go. And some will be more severe than others. And death and disease is part of this fallen world. And, you know, your time is always ready. And that's a message to which we should give heed. But Jesus never warned us that the world would end by pestilence. Jesus knew that humanity would survive all this stuff. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, all that beginning of sorrows. God designed our body to respond to these pestilences by building immunity. And I'm sure you've heard of herd immunity. By all accounts, California ought to be leading the country in COVID-19 deaths. I mean, thousands of folks come here from China, every week? This thing broke out a while back in China. They didn't tell us about it for how many months. We don't really know. It's likely that many thousands of Californians were exposed, more than likely. I think many thousands of people were exposed and survived it and built immunity to it exactly as God designed us. I know that many of my acquaintances got sick with something they thought was the flu. I mean, after all, it is flu season. And when that comes around, when you get flu-like symptoms, you kind of sort of think you got the flu. But for some, it just seemed unusual. I remember having conversations about it. It hung on longer. Finally, it passed. I think Rush is onto something here about herd immunity, explaining the California experience with this thing. Anyway, I got to conclude. There is simply not enough information available to me to be definitive about what's going on here. But let me tell you something. Americans are going to get done with this business of being strapped down by government on their rack and tightening that rack day by day to see just how far we will stretch before we break and bend to their will and yield our rights. But Americans are wired for liberty, and it won't be long before you're going to hear the Wallace wail, "Freedom!"
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. www.godswar2020.com.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
It's God's war, and we are his soldiers. The battle for America is on. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. We are at war. The president aptly said recently, we are at war with an invisible enemy. He was talking about COVID-19. But when he said it, I thought it was prophetic. For we are at war against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And our enemy is invisible to all but to those who have eyes to see. The nation is polarized, and if you are paying attention, then you know that the two poles are Jesus Christ on the one side and Antichrist on the other side. Let me explain. Hello, Mike. All Christians who have been in the faith for any time know that Jesus sent his spirit into the world. And according to the Bible, the spirit of Antichrist is already in it. These spirits clash. They are in opposition. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of liberty. And the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is here to give life. And the spirit of Antichrist is here to give death. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is here to empower Christ's disciples to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of Antichrist opposes the kingdom of God and tries to use the government, the powers of government, to stop the gospel from being preached. And he does that everywhere we let him. America is divided between the people of the Spirit of Christ and the people who are of the Spirit of Antichrist. There are those who acknowledge Christ Jesus is Lord, and there are those who rage against Christ, against his churches and his disciples, who say, quote, we will not have that man to reign over us, end quote, and they're talking about Jesus. I've been sounding the alarm for a few decades now with many others, that the spirit of Antichrist is increasing in power and in influence in America. And one reason this is happening is that Christians have been deceived into believing the world belongs to the devil, and we have no interest or part in world affairs. But that is a lie. And my book, God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, provides the biblical argument that exposes that lie and sets Christians free from this delusion with the truth that Jesus is king. And all mankind are his subjects. The Bible says the spirit of Antichrist denies that Christ has come in the flesh. Now, why does Satan want to deny that? Christ means anointed one, and it identifies Jesus as the promised Messiah, the promised King of glory. Satan denies this because he doesn't want you to know that the heir of the kingdom has come and has claimed what is his. You see, Satan hates the Easter message, friends, and that's the Easter message. It declares that Christ has spoiled the devil's house when he died for us upon the cross of Calvary, and that Christ has risen from the dead and declared all power, exousia, right to rule, was given to him in heaven and in earth. And in earth, Satan does not want you to understand that Jesus is, as the Bible says, prince over the kings of the earth, right now, Revelation 1:6, which is why, by the way, that God says, hey, King of Saud, hey, Imam of Iran, hey, you self-important murdering dictator in China, you had better kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Now that's our message right now to the nations. Jesus is King, and all who deny that Christ has come in the flesh and has claimed all authority in heaven and in earth, is deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. I hope you're listening, Christian. We've been duped. Many Christians unwittingly buy into that lie that Jesus, you know, he'll one day be king, but he's not king today. That's exactly what Satan wants you to believe. We have failed to heed the word of God and the advice of our founders. We have been warned not to put unbelievers in power. The founders warned us against the vanity of supposing our liberties would be safe in the hands of the godless. The Bible warns us against putting people in power that do not know God. John Jay, founder and first Chief Justice of our Supreme Court, said, quote, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers," end quote. He expressed concern that this was not treated with the interest and concern he felt it should receive. He said, quote, "Whether our religion permits Christians to vote for infidel rulers is a question which merits more consideration than it seems yet to have generally received either from the clergy or the laity. It appears to me," he said, "that what the prophet said to Jehoshaphat about his attachment to Ahab affords a salutary lesson," end quote. Now, the average American knew enough Bible then to understand his meaning. He was referring to 2 Chronicles 19:2, where the prophet rebuked Jehoshaphat, saying, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" End quote. Now, our founders warned us against forsaking God and our Christian faith and the values that sprang from this root and shaped our culture. And we see daily proof of their wisdom and our folly. We are like Egypt. You know, as long as Egypt had a Pharaoh that acknowledged the God of Jacob and his son Joseph, the people of God lived in liberty there, and Egypt prospered. But when a Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph, trouble came. Tyranny rose in the land, and the people of God were oppressed. This led to Egypt's destruction. In America, so long as we had leaders who knew Joseph, and you know what I mean by that, who had respect for America as founded, who acknowledged the God of our founders, America acknowledged the inalienable rights of its citizens being divinely endowed and prospered. But as leaders have risen in our land that know not the God of our founders and who despise America as founded, we are losing our liberties. We are coming under the heel of oppressive tyrants. You know the story of Israel. That one nation under God was blessed and prospered, but when they forsook God, they were given over to tyrants to rule them. Well, when God finally gave his people over, he complained against them that it was because, quote, "They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off." Hosea 8, verse 4. Are you listening, America? We have set up rulers that were not of God. And why? Because we made silver and gold our gods. This is America. God had given Israel clear instruction in the matter of setting up kings. You'll find it in Deuteronomy 17. And above all, their rulers were to be God-fearing men that honored the word of God and acknowledged the rule of God, just like Trump does today. But we have foolishly given power in our government to many men and women that do not know God, who mock the word of God, and who refuse to acknowledge Christ as Prince of the Kings of the Earth. Recently, Congressman Schumer and Congresswoman AOC mocked Christians for believing the Bible, unheard of in our past. Not too long ago, Hillary scolded Christians for their beliefs about homosexuality and abortion. And this comes in the wake of Obama's declaration that America is no longer a Christian nation, which, by that admission, it once was, and his snide remark about God and gun clingers. Remember that? And don't forget the spectacle at the Democratic Convention in 2010, when that party balked at recognizing faith in their party platform and literally booed the effort to get this voted in. And this was followed by the Democrat Party now openly embracing atheism and spurning Christianity. And now the mayor of New York City has come out and blamed Christians for the spread of COVID-19 in his city. Can you believe it? And he threatened that unless churches obeyed his edict to close their doors, he would shut them down permanently. Oh, really? Then I hear somebody say, reminds me of Nero, who blamed Christians for burning Rome and used this as a pretext to launch a bloody persecution against Christians in Rome? Can that be compared to Mayor de Blasio blaming Christians for the spread of COVID-19 and then following that with a threat to begin open persecution targeting Christians because of it? Not the same thing, you say? Well, I would grant it's certainly not the same in scope or in consequence, but it is the same in spirit. True, the mayor of New York does not have the power to nail Christians to crosses, and I don't even say that he would. But we should thank God for the constraints of this one nation under God and the Constitution that still prevails, because de Blasio is certainly of the same spirit of Nero. For look closely and you'll see the fiddle is in his own wicked hands. It's his policies that have exposed New York. Telling a visitor from Italy they did not need to self-quarantine, don't worry. Refusing to shutter schools when a case occurred in the school. Resisted canceling the St. Patrick's Day parade. Downplaying the seriousness of COVID-19 over and over again. And make no mistake, my friend, his attitude toward COVID-19 was inappropriate in the context of the city of New York, where people live practically on top of each other, like pack rats. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just, listen, the population density there is somewhere upwards of 3,000 people per square mile, where the people live in violation of the biblical principle to spread out. You ever read that in the Bible? Isaiah 5 verse 8, quote, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth," end quote. God didn't intend for us to live on top of each other like that. Look, not to get too far into this right now. Listen, if the police force and the courts are essential, and I believe they are, and therefore more than 10 people gather in those buildings to get their work done, and most certainly if packing booze is essential, so essential, we must not interrupt their important business so they can bottle the booze the worldlings need to cope. Well, then, by all that is holy, my friend, Christians who take care to follow appropriate health protocols, who believe their work is essential in this time of need, so they discreetly gather in their church buildings, sanitized and maintaining appropriate social distancing, to pray for America right now in the house of God, which is the house of prayer, I say they are as essential as any government agency, and certainly more essential to the security of our nation than any booze bottlers. And by the way, most Christians are staying home and joining their services via live stream. Now, it's obvious that de Blasio is looking for someone else to blame for his fiddling around while New York burned, just like Nero. And yes, I know what's different about this comparison, and I also know what is the same, and it's the part that is the same that bothers me. And my point is this: that's what you get when you put godless people into control of the powers of government. We are at war. You need to get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, and read it. Learn how to fight and win the present battle for America. Go to godswar2020.com. I've lit the lamps to the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 805-314-2114 and leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Or go to godswar2020.com and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. www.godswar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.